Blog Talk Radio.
Why this thing? What?
Steps to Christ, Chapter 4, Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt, he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3:12-13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary. And as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. End of chapter 4.
Good evening, my dear beloved sister and brother in Advent Light. Welcome, everyone. We are here together to give God the praise and to thank him for all his goodness. So sisters and brothers who joined today, tonight, we are asking you, please, let us give God all the praise. All praise and glory belongs to him. And tonight his children are going to rejoice in him by sharing his word in songs and praise, sharing their various testimony, singing praise to God, and also their prayer and prayer requests. So I am going to lead in us all in a word of prayer. We are asking our sisters and brothers to kneel if they can, or bow their head and just whisper a little prayer to the Lord, and then I will close the little prayer session. So I'm asking you at this time to bow, giving you a few minutes that you can present yourself to the Lord and ask him to pour his Holy Spirit upon his children. So let us pray. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a blessed privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Kind and loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy wonderful name. Your children come before you this moment to give you thanks, to give you praise, and to bring glory to you. We thank you for safe traveling mercy, dear Lord, for our Sister Leola and Brother Ray, who are traveling from Louisiana to Tennessee. We thank you for your protection towards them. We thank you for our sisters and brother who traveled to work today and bring them back home safely, Lord. We thank you for our sisters and our brothers who could visit, Lord, that we could share and sit down, Lord, and to look in each other's face for a long time. Father, you are so good. Thank you for my daughter who came, and you have given her traveling mercies that she came back up safely. I just want to give you thanks. Father, tonight we thank you for all of our sisters and our brothers. Continue to pour your blessings upon us and allow us to have a time that we can see the time that we are living in the last days, and to know that we have to be ready and obedient to your command and to show your love to all who we come contact with. So, Father, help us, Lord, as we present to you. And we are asking you to allow us to view that wonderful place that you have gone to prepare for us, Lord. Heaven, Lord, will be our new home, Lord. And we are asking you to help us, because only righteousness going to allow her to enter into our new home. So, Father, we come because we are pleading. We come because we are asking. We come to you boldly to the throne, presenting ourselves that we can surrender every sin so that we will able to enter the rest, Lord, that you want to give us. Grant us peace, we pray, in Jesus' loving name, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, I'm going to open the line for my sister for her devotional song and also our scripture and our prayer. So 518-650, your line.
Thank you for opening my line, Sister Powell. I'm Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. Lord, we come before thee now. At thy feet we humble bow. Oh, do not our suit. Sweet descend, seek we. Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on thee our souls depend. In compassion now descend. Fill our hearts with thy rich grace. Tune our lips to sing thy praise. Tune our lips to sing thy praise. Send some message from thy word that may joy and peace afford. Let thy spirit now impart full salvation to each heart. Full salvation. compassion to each heart. Comfort those who weep and mourn. Let the time of joy return. Those that are cast down, lift them up. Make them strong in faith and hope. Make them strong in faith and hope. Grant that all may seek and find Thee, a God supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free. Let us all rejoice in Thee. Let us all rejoice in Thee. I'm going to read Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, dear God, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening. Nothing in my hands I bring. I am hungry, I'm naked, I'm wretched, I'm blind. I'm nothing good, O God. I'm asking you to build an edge around me, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, O God, and cover me under your blood. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, dear Father, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, I am unworthy. I am unholy. I need you, dear God. Please heal me from all my unrighteousness and from all my downfall and my fault finding, O God, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, dear God. Father, I put this prayer line into your hand this evening, dear God. Each and every one of us who's got to take part and who is in the background listening before you, dear God. I'm asking you, Lord, to build an edge around us and to keep us from the things of this life, the things of this world, because there's nothing in this life, there's nothing in this world, sin, shame, and disgrace. Be with our families in a special way, O God, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers and our sisters, all our family members, I put them before you this evening. And Lord, not only my family members alone, and not only our family members alone, but all the families all over the world in diverse places, dear Father. Oh God, I put all the leaders before you, the pastors, the leaders, oh God, the government, the cabinet, each and every one of the leaders all over the world, the workplaces, the hospitals, Lord Jesus, all the owners, oh God, I put them before you because, Lord, this world is a stressful world and each and every one of us need you, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your guidance. We need your protection, oh God. We need your healing. We need your counseling. We need your leading. We need your guidance, oh God. Have mercy upon us, dear God. Hear our prayer, God. Give ear to our word. Cover us under your blood, Jesus. You do not want us to be found wanting. You is a God of everything, and you will supply our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, you wish above all things that we should prosper and be in good health. And you wish above all things, oh God, that all of us, you wish that all of us will be saved into your kingdom. So, God, continue to guide us and continue to keep us, dear Father, because we cannot guide ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves. Lord, the devil is like a roaring lion trying to devour us, oh God. But, Lord, we rebuke him. We Rebuke him, remove him, and destroy him from around your people, O God, and cover your people under your blood. Lord, you are stronger than us, so Lord, cover us, guide us, O God, and hold us with your righteous right hand. Give unto us all the strength we need, O God, so that we can fight the enemy, O God, and win souls for your kingdom. Father, continue to heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, open shelter for the homeless, O God. Father, have your way in our life. Take full control of us, O God. Lead us and guide us into the path of righteousness. O Father, I give unto you all and all, O God. I'm asking you to uplift me, to strengthen me, to guide me, to protect me, O God, to cover me under your blood, Jesus, and to keep me from everything that is unlike you. Lord, help me to be willing, help me to be true, help me to be kind. Help me to do everything that I can do to your glory, your honor, and your majesty. Heavenly Father, take over, dear God. Have your way tonight, Jesus. Lead out, guide out, protect. Have your way. Let your will be done, I ask, and I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, I pray and I give you thanks again. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have to give God all the praise that's due to him. God is so good. God is so great. We want to thank Sister Barnaby for that song, you know. These are the time that we need these songs to cheer us up and to allow us to know that Jesus is in our prison. So we want to thank her for reading of the scripture and also for prayer. And we know that she intercedes for every one of us. So I just want to give God thanks for our dear sister who joined and, you know, sharing and reading and singing songs of praise. So God is able to do all things, brother. Let us just trust him. And as the Lord wants us to give us a gift, Lord, in the last days, this is the last days we are living in. And in this last day, the Lord wants us to enter into his eternal rest with him. And I just read this little gift that you want to give us, each and every one of us here. Is that the inheritance of the saint? And I'm reading this little topic from last day event. It said, a gift from the Lord. All who is on the line tonight, I know you all want to receive this wonderful gift from the Lord. He promises us it in his word, and his word is truth. So all of us on the line, let us prepare. Let us get ourselves preparation time. And this is the time for us to see and to listen and to hear and to ask the Lord to help that we can receive this gift. And it's a gift from the Lord. And it, Christ is saying that this letter comes from letter 16:18-19. Christ, only Christ, is his righteousness, will obtain for us a passport into heaven. So only Christ can give us that passport to heaven. We all try to get passport to go to various countries. We know that various countries are so beautiful, some countries. And sometimes we say, oh, we want to go there. You know, but we have to have a passport before we can enter. But Christ promised us, my dear brothers and sisters, if we are faithful and trust, he will cover us with that passport with righteousness so that we can enter heaven with him. We can enter heaven with him. He also said to us, hello, my dear sister. You hear me? I'm on the line now. You're on the line? Okay, so I'm hosting tonight, so I'm on the line now, right? Okay, dear. Yes, my dear sister, God wants to give us this passport, right? And it said, a proud heart strives to earn salvation, but both our title to heaven and our fitness for it are formed in the righteousness of Christ. So we see here that Christ's Desire of Ages, page 318-96, that we might become members of the heavenly family. He became a member of the earthly family. And also we find that in Desire of Ages 638-1890, there is a better than a title to the noblest policy on earth is on our behalf. So invisible ascension of Christ, all their views and contemplation of heaven are changed. Their minds that formerly dwelt upon it as a region of unlimited space. So brothers and sisters, we have to just have a glimpse of heaven. We want to look how beautiful, just glimpse how these countries are beautiful sometimes when we visit. I visit my country, and I know it's beautiful. I visit California, I saw it's beautiful. So we do know that heaven will be more beautiful than all these countries. So let us all strive so that we can receive that passport that God had promised us to heaven. So I'm going to stop and open the line, and I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press 1 so that you can share tonight, because we want, all of us want to accept that gift, and that gift is a passport to heaven. Each and every one of us are striving to go to heaven. And I know by the grace of God, for us to be faithful and to be obedient, we will be able to gain that passport that we can go to heaven. Let us rejoice, my dear brothers and sisters, by sharing and giving thanks to the Lord. Opening this line, 225-337, your line is open. Tell your name and where you're calling from. 225-337, your line is open. Your line is open. Okay. I don't hear this person. Check your phone. Sister Leela, can you check your phone? Okay. 8576415, your line is open.
Hello, Sister Powell. Hello, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli, Sister Powell. First of all, I'd like to thank God, because God is good. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Powell. I like to praise God because he is an awesome God. He is a mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, Sister Powell. I have a prayer request, Sister Powell, before I sing a song. My prayer request right now, Sister Powell, is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, don't forget to pray for my mom. Pray for me. Sister Powell, don't forget to pray for Sister Yesenia, Yesenia. Pray for Sister Yesenia. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Powell, because Brother Jahari needs a lot of prayer, Sister Powell. Lift him up in prayer too. Pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Powell, and he could preach the gospel message on this advertising ministry. Pray for Brother Jihari, Sister Power, and he could baptize too. Because Sister Power, you remember when Sister Miola used to talk to him, Sister Power. Sister Miola used to talk to him and tell him about your heart should not be troubled. Sister Powell, I don't know what Sister Miola was reading about. Sister Powell, Sister Paul and Sister Miola's on this prayer line. Tell Sister Miola to read John something like that. When she was reading with Brother Jahari, she prayed with him, Sister Paul. She lit him up in prayer. And Sister Paul, pray for Brother Jahari and he could join the prayer line. Pray for Brother Jahari and he could preach the gospel. Message on the spirit line. Sister Powell, don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari and he could preach the gospel message on this prayer line. Pray for Brother Isma. Pray for Brother Isma. Pray for Sister Tatiana, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, don't forget to pray for Kanu. Pray for Kanu, Sister Powell, to lift a Kanu in prayer, Sister Paula. Her name is Kanu too, and that's Jahari's new staff, house staff. Lift her up in prayer. Her name is Kanu and Michelle. Lift up Kanu and Michelle. Don't forget to lift up Sister Brittany, Sister Brittany, Sister Marianne. Lift them up in prayer, Sister Power. And Sister Power, Brother Jahari on this prayer line. Sister Power, Brother Jahari might be feeling down at this moment. Sister Power, I want to encourage Brother Jahari. Brother Jahari, be strong in the Lord because God have a plan for you. God is a mighty God,
amen.
Brother Jahari. Be strong in the Lord. Brother Jahari, I just sing a song because if you feel down, Brother Jahari, if you feel stressed, if you feel like you are in the darkness at this moment, don't forget to push number one, Jahari, to share your testimony. Give God thanks. Give him praise because he is good for you, Brother Jahari. Give God thanks, Brother Jahari. What matter what you're going through, God will break every chain for you, Brother Jahari. I just sing a song, Brother Jahari, and the Sister Power will sing a second song for you. And Sister Miola might sing a song, Brother Jahari, if you're feeling down at this moment. Let me sing a song, Sister Power. I wonder to say hova. For me, I wonder to say hope for you, for me. Na 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 o na we kere na la la na we. Na 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 we na we kele la 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 we na 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 we na we kele na la 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 we. I wonder to say hova for you, for me. I wonder to say hope for you, much for me. Brother Jahari, be strong in the Lord because God have a plan for you, Brother Jahari. Remember, Sister Power is always there, Brother Jahari, the head of the ministry. She's on this prayer line. She will encourage you on this prayer line, Jahari. Be strong in the Lord, Brother Jahari. Be strong in the Lord because God have a plan for you, Brother Jahari. Sister Power will sing a song for you, Brother Jahari, if you feel down, if you feel stressful. God have a plan for you, Sister Power. Sister Power will sing. Sister Power will lift you up in the Lord, Brother Jahari. Be strong in the Lord. What matter what you're going through, Brother Jahari, be strong in the Lord. God is always with you, Brother Jahari. What matter if you have a bad day, be strong in the Lord because God has a plan for you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. Sure, we thank you for that song, encouragement. especially to Brother Johari. Brother Johari, the line, the number is 319-527-6240. Little Brother Eli had in his heart that joy and that peace for you, Brother Johari. Brother Eli would like you to join the line. So if you are on the line, Brother Johari, we are asking you to press number one so that we can know you are on the line. And Brother Eli is sing a song and, you know, is asking you for you to share your testimony. So we want to thank Brother Eli for that, you know, prayer request, and also thank him for singing that song. Thank you, Brother Eli, for joining us. Okay, 225-337, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, Sister Power. I'm not going to be alone because Brother Akeem is on the phone. So let me just offer a prayer. Oh, Father, without in heaven, Lord, we want to come to you, Father, to thank you, Father, for this prayer line. The sisters and brothers that's on the line, Father, we pray for Brother Akeem. Lord, bless him, Father, to bring us the message that our heart would be happy and glad and joyful for this word. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the prayer line. We thank you for this, Brother Akeem. We thank you for the brothers and sisters. So, Lord, we ask that you fill us with thy spirit, Lord, and allow your Holy Spirit to be upon this prayer line so the sisters and brothers can understand the word of God and that we may be blessed and be blessed to be able to be obedient to God's word. So we thank you. In your son, Yeshua's name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for praying, and thank you for that God who allowed you was to join us tonight. And we are praying for you and Brother Ray. God bless. All right. 518-744, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, praising the Lord for another day, for a new week that has begun. What a wonderful Sabbath we had. It was just a blessing to be worshiping the Lord. And we actually had our youth, actually from our school, and my daughter teaches, came and did the worship service for us at our church in Kingsbury. And wow, what a blessing that was. Those young people were praising the Lord, singing songs, and just lifting up the Lord. And, you know, what a wonderful thing to hear young people praising the Lord. It just does something for your heart that nothing else can do. So just grateful for that. I just want to lift up all the young people. I know many of us have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even, I probably don't even have great-grandchildren. So we just want to lift each one of them up to the Lord so that he will take care of them, he will keep them. Many of us have been around for a number of years, and but they have not. They have not seen the things that we have. They have not heard the things we have. And I just want to pray to the Lord that he would keep them from seeing and hearing the things that some of us have. We want them to be pure and holy and not have those bent towards evil that sin can do if we allow it to take control of our lives. So actually, I just want to take a moment and just lift up the young people right now. If we could bow our heads, Lord. We're just so grateful for your goodness to each one of us, Lord. We desire to be your children at this point. At this time and place, Lord, we choose you. And Lord, we are weak. We are sinful. Lord, we know that you will give us strength. You promised. You've given us all that we need. You do your will, Lord, to keep following you, to be your children. So, Lord, at this moment, we lift up all of our young people to your children and grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, Lord. All the young folks in the church, Lord, those who are in their schools, Lord, each one of them, Father. Father, we want them to be strong and mighty in your word, to be witnesses for you, to be followers of you, to praise your name. And Father, at this time, we just ask for your mighty angels to surround them, to protect them from the advances of the evil one, Lord, who's trying to trap them, trying to ensnare them, trying to get them to sin, lead them into sin. Lord, we would love to see them in his kingdom, but Father, we know that you are mightier than he. So, Father, right now, we just lift them up. We praise you for giving us the opportunity to come before you, Lord. We praise you for the promises that you've given us in the scriptures. Sister Barnaby was reading just a little bit ago, Lord. And Father, we just lift up each person on this prayer line, all the brothers and sisters. Brother Eli is praying for his mom and Brother Joe Holly, and all of his friends and acquaintances, Lord, who just do lift up Brother Eli. Lord, give him a double portion of your spirit so that he may continue to witness for you in the mighty way as he has his hands, and that you would put a song in his heart, Lord. And each one of us, Lord, we need a song in our heart. We need your spirit to be filling us to overflowing, Father. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for just giving us all that you have, Lord. Bless us now. Bless this prayer line and Sister Paula who is hosting and each person who is listening. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, bless it until you then. Amen. Sister Paula, I just thank you for hosting tonight, and it was a pleasure to hear Sister Barnaby sing and Brother Eli to sing his song. Or just I'm being blessed by all this, and just thank each person that calls in, because it is a real witness to me. It gives me strength to continue on even when things don't seem to be quite right. We can gain strength from each other. So thank you, Sister, for opening my line. And I will continue praying for each one of you. Please pray for me. Thanks.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. It seems like you, the Holy Spirit, spoke to you a while ago, because I have the intention to ask you for prayer, and I listen to your prior request, prior praise, and also praying for the team and praying for everyone and giving thanks to God for what he has done. So we just want to thank you, brother, to lead us in prayer and to also bring your prayer requests to us and to be here to join us. And as the Lord said it, you know that, you know, before we call, he is there to hear and to answer us. And we have to be just obedient to the Spirit, whatsoever the Spirit said. You know, we have to be obedient. So I just want to thank you, Elder Rick, for even coming. Thank you that we could hear your voice. And thank you for your comforting words, that encouragement to us here who are, you know, participating and also who are also sharing. So I just want to thank you. Sisters and brothers, if anyone here would like to speak or before the presenter come with a message, we are asking you to press number one that I can open your line. You know, we have a wonderful prayer. We know that we are looking forward for the coming of Christ. And as we mentioned a while ago, brothers and sisters, that the Lord have a gift, a special gift to give his children. And that gift, I do know that each one of us would like to receive that gift. And tonight, as we come here tonight to be listening to God's word and to be mindful to know that, you know, God is calling us into righteousness. And he wants us to be obedient to receive that gift that he has in store for us. And tonight we will be hearing and also preparing ourselves to receive that gift, that passport. And that is a passport that we want not to go into different places in the country or over the world, but our passport is a passport of the gift that God wants us to obtain. And that passport is a passport to heaven. And I do know that each one of us want to go to heaven, and that's the reason why we are here. So we have to prepare for that. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters, if you want to share a testimony of praise before, let I open the line before a speaker come in to speak. All right, this line. 857-605, your line is open.
Sister Paola, don't forget to
All right, Brother Eli, it seems like I have some problem with your number. You know, sorry, Brother Eli, I know you just talk, right? So God bless. So we're going to have another word of prayer. And, you know, this individual, okay. 815.
Sister Paola, I would like to say something.
Yes, amen. Your line is open. Your line is open, 851-386. Your line is open, Sister Payne.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to do my praying now. Father, I come. You said I should come boldly to the throne, dear Father. And so here I come. Nothing in my hands I bring this morning but my hands are empty. I bring no good gift, but I come asking you to have mercy.
As you spoke a while ago, and you know, you're on the line.
Well, I just want to say, bring me here in such a time as this. I thank you for all the brothers and sisters who is on the line. Especially this dejected brother who read the wonderful readings. Oh Lord, confession. Lord God, have mercy upon me. Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Because I know things are more than what I than the amount of years that I live. Father, from a child till now, I know. So I'm not heaven. I'm not a heaven property. I'm not looking that I'm ready for that king, but I know that you can make me ready. I know that you are the person care of the sins and show them to the bottom of the sea. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus on behalf of all my brethren here on the radio. I pray for all the radio lines. I pray for the sister and her husband traveling. I pray for sojourning mercies for them out there. Take the wheel and do the driving for them and help them to be refreshed and keep their eyes on the road. Continue to be with Katamika, my baby, and Lynn. She's my friend, my best church friend. We've been talking a good time. I pray for her and what is her desire and to make a desire. And all the brethren here have a desire, and you know, and my desire, you know, our desire. I want to pray for everyone here, family, children, youth, all the broken homes, dear Father. We pray for wife and husband. We pray for children. We pray right now. We are praying for many homes is broken because they lost their homes. They're on the street. Oh, God, do you see them? They're on the street. They're in the cold. They're on the little tents, oh, God. And, Father, most of them had a house. They had a life. They had something going. They're on the street now, Lord. And so, Father, our time is coming. Our time, we don't know when and where and how. But, Lord, you have a specific time for everything. I pray for them out there.
I pray for them, oh God, some are wandering so far away from home. And oh God, I know you have a compassion and you're going to do what pleases you. I pray with the children out there. Oh God, I pray for my children. I pray that you can, you promise. I ask you on your promise. I say you promise to represent them to me because I love them, Lord, and I pray every time I pray for my kids. And I'm looking for them, Lord, when you talk, when you finish with me. I will not move from your presence because I will be waiting for my children. And I will learn that you are a good God and you are a man to your words. And I put it back to you this day. Your words I'm going by. You will save my children and not only my children, oh God. But everyone here needs their children to be saved. Everyone, those who are in our house, we pray for them. We're outside. We ask you to bring them, Lord Jesus. Get that lantern, oh God. You said, all your Father gives you, you lose none. And, oh God, we ask you to look out for those youths, men and women, and bring them in before it's too late, oh God. I pray, Lord, for our church, our fallen church. I pray for the brethren, Lord. I pray for them. Lord, those who are careless, those who are not looking, those who don't have their eyes on the landmark or the way back, oh God. I pray for them, Lord, that they may wake them up, Lord Jesus. You love them. You die for them. You pay a price for all of us. And I know that you love each and every one of us, Lord. And I say, Lord, I pray that you give that teacher, this Sabbath school teacher, Sister Boehm, give me the name. She have all the names of the people in the church, and they only have it in safekeeping. I say, give it to me. Let me pray for them. For they got to pray for to come in, and up till now she will not release it. But no, Lord God, is your children. And I'm putting it to you, Lord, and I'm asking you to let her release some of those names to me so we can pray for them, oh God, so that their blood don't be on our shoulder. I pray even for the president of the country and Jamaica. I pray for these presidents and prime ministers of the world, oh God. And I pray for that real nation, the arch wickedness all the time, Lord. And I pray against that Pope up there, Lord. I know he's the one leading all this mess. I pray, oh God, that you may captivate, you may turn over. Oh, I pray, Lord, for anyone that's standing in need of a prayer right now. I pray, oh God, that you bring people to their knees, oh God, because your foot is in the door and your mouth is open. And I pray, God, you said, oh, you're telling the angels to fall in just a little bit more so that your children can be saved. And oh God, I'm asking you, Lord, that none should be saved. Don't let one perish there, Jesus. We have people going out in coronavirus business here, Lord. Some is going out, hundreds are going out right at this moment. And God, I ask you to just stop that the good breed would come back to you and save them, Lord. Save them, Jesus. Save them before they go out, oh God. To you, Lord, I'm thanking you for all these wonderful things I'm learning. So much things. Oh, confession of sin, oh God. I know I'm not a heaven. I'm not a person for heaven, but I know that your blood is dragging up. I plead the blood, and I confess, and I'm still confessing, and oh God. I pray for the young man who was praying for everybody there. I pray for him, Lord. He has a good heart. I pray for everyone here on this prayer line. And now, Lord, I have to come down from the prayer tower, but you know, I'll be coming back to you on what you promised me. I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not. I have to be there. I must be there, and by your grace, I trust your word, and I will be there, oh God. Yes, I thank you for hearing. And now I can't sing because I mashed up myself. Have mercy, oh God, have mercy, and bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, when the Spirit is upon us, we have to shout. We have to present it out. We have to pour it out. Thank you, my dear sister, for praying for each one. We have seen burdens on your heart, and burdens are lifted on Calvary. Only Calvary can lift those burden for the children, burden for the youth, burden for the minister, burden for every one of us here who are on this line. And you said burdens, Jesus said burdens are lifted on Calvary. When the Holy Spirit fall upon our people, we have seen that they could then go out and preach the gospel message, and this message is here. So the Holy Spirit is in your heart. Touch your heart this evening to pour out for your brothers and your sisters and your children. And one point came out to me that impresses me, that you are willing to get the names that you can pray for your brothers and your sister, the church. So brothers and sister, how we have a sister here who is willing, you know, to petition to the Lord about our son, our brothers, and our sisters. So you know what? We can also have a session where we'll petition these names. You know, we have heard a while ago Brother Eli, who came on the line, and he is praying, Brother Eli, for Jairi Ishmael, his mother and himself. We know that Brother Rick pray for the whole team, and burden is on the heart of my sister. And we just want to give God thanks that, you know, we are able to join here to pour out, you know, our prayer to the Lord, and have that blessed assurance that he hears us and he promised that he will answer. So I just want to thank you, my dear sister, that the Holy Spirit touch your heart so that you pray for each one of us. And now we will just offer a word of prayer for our speaker, our dear speaker, Brother Akin James, Pastor Akin James, who will be presenting the message. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, we want to thank you so far for this session. We give you all the praises, Lord, that due to you. We thank you for our brothers and our sisters who join here and give petition to you for on behalf of each and every one of us, and the leadership in our organization, the government, Lord, your Father, brothers and sisters and children. We know you heard our cry, Lord. It was a crying of tears, but it was a crying of joy, Lord, because you love our brothers and our sisters and our children and our youth. So, Lord, we ask you to hear our cry and answer our plea. Now, Father, we present the speaker, our dear Pastor Akin James, Lord, as he present your message. Help us, Lord, that we will be attentively, Lord, to the message, that we will be able to get it clear in our heart, and our mind, Lord, will be set free. That so that we can present it to others and also share. Cover him, Lord, under your blood, and the message that will come out from him. Allow that fresh bread of heaven will come straight from the throne room of you, Lord. Give him the strength that he need, Lord. And as a young man, dear Father, be obedient to your will to carry out the message, Lord, to the world. We ask you, Father, for strength for him, and give him that power that he can continue to present your word. Thank you, Lord, for each one of us so far, and help us to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, we want to thank you all for joining and all those who participate. And now is the time for us to sit back, get our Bible and our pen and our notebook so that we can take notes, brothers and sisters, that we can go back, you know, to review these notes, study these notes, because these notes will be very great help for us, especially in this time that we are living in. So the next voice you will hear is our speaker, Brother Akeen James. 272-770, your line is open.
Hello. How you doing, Sister Powell?
Oh, what I did, I do. Hello, my dear. It seems like I did something wrong.
Hi.
Okay, welcome, my dear. My dear sister,
thank
how
you
are doing?
So much for welcoming me. I'm doing okay. Praise and thanks to the Lord. He takes such good care of his people. I'm so grateful to have the Lord in my life. And I thank him for another precious day of life. I thank him for all that he has given me and all that he has done for me. I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful he takes good care of all my brothers and sisters on the line. I'd like to give praise and thanks to the Lord and bless everyone on the line. God bless you all. I hope that you're safe and well.
Amen, 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 amen.
Yes, I just want to read a devotional, if I can, on the line
okay,
for my brothers and sisters.
Sure,
thank
my dear.
Thank you, sweetheart. I just want to share a little hope and encouragement. Today is April 25th, 2021, and the book is called Jesus is Calling, and it says, Make me your focus point as you move through this day. Just as spinning ballerina must keep turning and returning her eyes to give point to maintain her balance, so you must keep returning your focus onto Jesus. Circumstances are in fluke and the world seems to be whirling around you. The only way to keep your balance is to fix your eyes on me, Jesus, the one who never changes. If you gaze too long at your circumstances, you will become very dizzy and confused. So look to me, refreshing yourself in my presence, and keep your steps will and ready and steady on me, because I will make you secure and I will make you whole. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I just wanted to say that briefly, yes, to everyone, and I hope and pray everyone receives blessings from that. And they also left me scriptures in here to read, Hebrews 12:2, Psalms 102:27, and John 3:19-20. So I won't read it because I don't want to take up anybody's time, but I just want to
Can you repeat the Psalms again, those chapters?
Oh, yes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Psalms 102, verse 27, and 1 John 3, 19-20.
Okay. Thank you, my dear.
Oh, you're very welcome. I just wanted to share that little devotional with you, and I just thank the Lord for all he's doing for me and continuing to do for me. So I love you all, brothers and sisters, and may we continue to have a blessed and beautiful meeting together.
Okay. Thank you, my dear Sister Tamika.
Thank you. Okay, sweetheart. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, my dear Sister Tamika, for sharing and also that devotional thought. You know, God is so good and bringing in all these blessings. And brothers and sisters, I do hope that you guys, everyone took those scriptures, you know, Hebrews 12:2, Psalms 102, 27 and 1 John 3:19-20. In your spare time, we are asking you to feed upon these words, right? And brothers and sisters, let us have a good time. Brother Akeen, if you are on the line, you know, can you press number one so that we can know if you're on the line to do the presentation? God is good. He is so great so far. We are having a good time. So we are asking Brother Akeen if he is on the line, to press number 1. That I can know. I'm getting sometimes some mix up with the number, Brother Akin. You know, if your number is on the line here, can you press number 1? That I can. I don't want to press a number. I don't see a spare number here on my board. Like I find out from Sister Leola. Play, brothers and sisters, just give patience with us a little bit that I can ask, because Sister Leola has told me that Brother Aki, 225-337. Sister Leola, 225-337. Your line is open. I just want to find out if Brother Akin is on there. I don't see.
Yes, Brother Akin. Well, just give me a moment.
It's 2.
Let me make sure.
You said he was on it, and I pressed a number.
He said he was supposed to be on. Give me just a second, Sister Powell. I'm checking.
Yes, brothers and sisters, God is good. He is so great. As we were talking about our passport to heaven, Christ is the only way and the only one can give us our passport to heaven. And I do know we all want a passport to heaven. So, and that passport to heaven is righteousness. He said, Christ, only Christ, and his righteousness will obtain for us a passport to heaven. You know, into heaven, and it also stated, prayers for all leaders of the world. You know, so if we trust Christ, you know, we will be able to
not see him.
Hello? I am on the line. I am on the line. Okay. Yes, my dear sister.
I'm texting him.
Oh, yes. Okay. God is good. I saw Brother Akin now. Okay? Brothers and sisters,
okay.
Thank you for be patient. Sister Leola? Okay, thank you, Sister Leola. All right, the next voice you will hear, you know, we just pray for Brother Akin, and he is here. Thank God. God is so good. He is so great. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, the next voice you will hear is Brother Akin. Pastor Akin, 640, your line is open.
All right. Praise the Lord. Glad to be back on once again. And as we study today, we're going to be continuing in our study of Daniel chapter 11. Last week we studied chapter 36. We'll recap that, and then we'll go into verse 37. We studied verse 36 last week, and this week we're going to go into verse 37. So let's just have a word of prayer as we continue. Father in heaven, continue to illuminate our minds. Draw us ever closer to you, O Lord, and I am truly thankful for having light, the opportunity to speak to your people, and I pray that our hearts will continually be encouraged as we study the more sure word of prophecy. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right.
Amen.
So we studied verse 36 last week, and it says, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. And so, as we look at this, we found out last time that the king that shall do according to his own will is the papal system. This is speaking of the system and the leadership at the head of that system, speaking also of the Pope of Rome, which would include the Pope of Rome. So papal Rome, with the Pope at its head, will seek to take the place or to usurp the place of God himself, to stand and to exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. We also saw that to do according to his own will is used in multiple places in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, especially the prophetic sections of the book of Daniel, from chapter 7 onward, especially chapter 11, and also chapter 8 and 9. And so we're seeing here that while earthly powers, from Alexander the Great to the Caesars to Papal Rome, would actually seek to apply this title to themselves, doing according to one's own will, which is something that according to Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar attributed to God himself. Only God can truly do according to his own will. But the powers of earth have sought to take that place. And so now we study that. We saw according to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36 that the papal system would seek to magnify himself above every god. We read in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 11, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, that's Jesus. And verse 25 of chapter 8, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. So he was proud from the core. The papal system would manifest pride at its core, not only in Rome, but also in the papal system as well. And this, the reason for this is because it is being guided by one in whom pride has been established from the very beginning, and that is Satan himself. As we keep going now, we're going to go now into verse 37. And it says there, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any God. For he shall magnify himself above all. This verse repeats the thought of the preceding verse, verse 36. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. That's what we read in verse 36. The verse now specifies some of the deities that the papacy would not honor, right? So it shall not regard, speaking of the papal system, shall not regard the god of his fathers. Most other translations favor the god of his fathers, the gods of his fathers. The Roman Church itself supplanted the deities known to the Roman Empire. And this is why you see within the Roman Empire, you see that the way that they conquered nations was not by destroying them, but they would absorb these nations into themselves and absorb also their gods. That's why the similar gods, the same gods that you see within the Greek dynasty, within the Greek Empire, was absorbed into the Roman Empire, but under different names. They had a pantheon of gods, many gods that they worshipped that were absorbed from other nations. And so, the Roman Church itself, now the continuation of the pagan Roman Empire, which is the papacy, would do the same thing. It would take the images of these gods and would give them apostolic names. The God of his fathers is God, as it concerns the God of his fathers, one of them would be God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, a distinct eternal being along with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Together they are known in inspiration as the heavenly trio, right? So this was one of the major things that we see in the papal system, is that there is an amalgamation, or let me put it this way, there is a different view of the Godhead than we ourselves have as Adventists. And so as you look at the papal system, you will see this aspect of the Father, and the Son comes forth from the Father, and then the Holy Spirit is generated by the Father and the Son. Not by coincidence, you have a convoluted version, an even more convoluted version of that coming into the Adventist movement in the form of non-Trinitarianism. And so you have these aspects where the Godhead, the heavenly trio, this is where Seventh-day Adventist theology concerning the Godhead is very distinct even from evangelical theology concerning the Godhead. We do believe in God, yes, but God is three distinct persons. In other words, the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So in other words, it's three distinct beings, which inspiration calls the heavenly trio, or the three dignitaries of heaven. One did not generate the other. One did not produce the other. One did not create the other. All three are distinct divine entities. Hence, we read in inspiration in the book Desire of Ages that Jesus Christ is God, but not only is he God, but it says he is distinct and his power is underived, unborrowed, and it is original. In other words, Christ does not need power from the Father in order to be God. Christ is God all on his own. Three distinct entities. The reason that it's distinct in terms of evangelical theology concerning the Godhead is that when you talk about the Godhead in evangelical theology, it's the idea that sometimes one produces the other, or that the Father and the Son produces the Holy Spirit. But according to Adventist theology, which is Bible theology, the Holy Spirit is a person in and of himself, distinct as the Father and the Son are distinct. So, as it concerns God, it is one God. But as it concerns that one God, that one there, the Lord our God is one. As it concerns the Jewish Shema, that word one there actually is the word echad in Hebrew, which literally means one in union. In other words, all three are united. They are one in character, one in purpose, and one in mission, and one in nature. So this is what echad means. It's not one in number, but one in union. They are united perfectly. There is no discord among them. So as we look at this, I think we're getting some feedback in the background. Okay, so as we look at this, we're realizing that, okay, wow, so there's a distinction between the Catholic view of the Godhead and the scripture. I'm not even going to say Adventism just yet, but the view of Adventism as it concerns what scripture says concerning the Godhead, that all three are distinct in power and they don't have to rely on one another in order to be God, right? So this is crucial. I pray that that makes sense to us, that we see these differences. Now, the story, the verse continues by saying, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman. All right? Nor the desire of woman. Contrary to what many have been led to believe, this does not refer just to the aspect of celibacy. Because many look at this verse and they're like, whoa, this is in reference to the reality that the papal system does not allow priests to be married once they have dedicated their lives to the priesthood, or once a nun has dedicated their lives to being nuns, it means that they cannot be married. While there's an aspect of that could be in this verse, contrary to what many believe, this is not the only understanding of this. First, the context is about various deities which are not honored by the papacy. Second, the desire of woman does not mean the desire for woman. All right? So the revised, as it concerns certain translations, the expression would read as the beloved of woman. So the word desire is from the Hebrew word kenda, which is used as a title for Christ, the desire of all nations, according to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7. Jesus is the desire of all nations, the desire of every heart, the desire of ages. The title, the desire of all nations, means the same as the desire of woman. For the nations are sometimes represented as woman, the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Tyre, the daughter of Babylon, etc. The text, therefore, becomes quite straightforward. The king would not honor the gods of old Rome nor Jesus Christ, nor any God. He would worship none but himself. All right? So this word, I'll read it over again. When it comes to the word desire of woman, it does not mean the desire for woman. It can actually be translated the beloved by woman. All right? And in Scripture, you remember, a woman is likened unto a church, right? The word desire here, which can be translated as beloved, is actually the Hebrew word kenda, which is used as a title for Christ, according to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7. So the beloved of the people, the beloved of the nations, the beloved of the church is no longer Jesus Christ, but it is the church itself as it concerns the papal system. So the papal system would not regard Jesus, which is the desire of nations, but it would rather regard itself. Hence it says, neither shall he, speaking of the papal system, regard the God of his fathers, that's the gods of Rome, nor the desire of woman, meaning, nor the desire of nations, nor regard any god. So the translation would be the king, speaking of the papal system, would not honor the gods of old Rome, Jesus Christ, nor any god. I pray that that makes sense to each and every one of us. All right? So as we look at this, Lewis Weir mentions this statement. He says, Paul also refers to Daniel 11:37 when he says of the papal system, forbidding to marry. The celibacy of papal priests and nuns is one of the specifications brought to view in the prophecy of Daniel 11. By its celibacy, the papacy is able more successfully to enslave both priests and people in their false mediatorial systems. So this is why earlier, it's not just speaking of turning men away from Christ. It's not just turning men away from Christ. It's also this marital aspect. So it's both and, not one or the other, right? So it's turning people away from Christ, yes. And it's turning people away from the natural sexual affections that God designed should happen between a man and a woman by forbidding men to marry, all right? And how those sexual how sexual gratification can take place within the proper context of marriage. So the church would rise up to turn men and women away from that. That's why the church was so angry with men like Luther and others who would rise up from and separate from the Catholic Church, and actually they would get married, right? Because they were like, how could these men are defiling the priesthood, and they got all the more angry with Luther and others when they began to show people the truth concerning this, that this is not biblical. This requirement of priests is not biblical, right? It continues, it says, he shall magnify himself above all. The worship of images and relics, the invocation of saints, and the exaltation of the Pope are devices of Satan to attract the minds of the people from God and from his Son. To accomplish their ruin, he endeavors to turn their attention from him through whom alone they can find salvation. He will direct them to any object that can be substituted for the one who has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Great Controversy, page 568 and 569. It continues, Taylor Bunch, in his book titled Book of Daniel, page 188, states, just as the little horn was diverse from all other earthly powers, the papal religion was different from all previous religions. It is a compromise between paganism and Christianity. While Catholics regard the Pope as another God on earth and give him divine honors as if he were God, the Pope exalts himself above every God, including the God of gods, against whom he speaks marvelous things or blasphemously. All right? So this is what we're speaking of, a system that would exalt itself above above the other religions of the world, above true Christianity, above the gods of the past. And what they would do is they would take those gods and absorb them into Christian tradition. Hence, you have the idols today. And so through this, this system of worship has turned men's minds away from the true God and has turned them to idols, turned them away from true worship to false worship. All right? Now, as we look at this, what we're going to see is that in the end of time, we just looked at chapter 11, verse 37. All right? We've seen that when it says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, that's the gods of Rome, nor the desire for women, we saw that that had a twofold meaning. It had the aspect of turning men away from Christ, which is the desire of nations, and turning the people away from the biblical doctrine concerning marriage, calling the men who felt that they were called to ministry, calling them to celibacy, which is something that the Bible never required of any priest or of any follower of Jesus Christ, except that God gave an individual, God did give individuals the gift of celibacy or the gift of being a eunuch in Scripture. We have those aspects of men that were called to singleness in Scripture. But it was something that they were called to personally by God. And some of them, Jesus says, they made themselves such for the kingdom of God. But this was not a standard to be placed on every believer. Right? It was very different what Jesus was talking about. But what the church did was they took this and they placed it upon everybody who would become a priest, which was unbiblical. Nor regard any God, for he magnified himself above all. In other words, it was a system. Who is it magnifying itself above all to worship? It is a worship of self. So we see a system that spoke blasphemy against God and his kingdom and his son and sought to receive worship that was directed to self. All right? As we look at this now, we go into verse 38. All right? So verse 38 tells us, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. This is stated in Great Controversy, page 55, concerning but in his estate. All right? The accession of the Roman Church to power marked the beginning of the Dark Ages. So what marked the beginning of the Dark Ages? The rise of the Roman Church to power. As her power increased, listen to this, as her power increased, the darkness deepened. Now, friends, don't forget that. We're going to come back to that as it concerns end time prophecy, because this is revealing what's going to happen again at the end of time. What took place in the Dark Ages is going to be repeated on an even deeper level at the end. Now, what resulted in deeper darkness? It was the increase of power on the part of the papacy. So what can we expect? As the papal system gains more power at the end of time, the more and more power that it gains, friends, the darker the world will become. This is a solemn thought. As a matter of fact, inspiration tells us that at the end of time, the highest point of the papal system would be the midnight of the world. This is what is coming. When the papal system reaches its highest point of power again at the end of time, the world will be at a state of darkness that is compared to midnight. It says faith was transferred from Christ, the true foundation, to the Pope of Rome. Instead of trusting in the Son of God for forgiveness of sins and for eternal salvation, the people looked to the Pope and to the priests and prelates to whom he delegated authority. They were taught that the Pope was their earthly mediator and that none could approach God except through him. And further, that he stood in the place of God to them and was therefore to be implicitly, that is without question, obeyed. Not even God operates like that. even though God would desire that we come to him and follow him to a degree that we do not question, friends, God is also open to our questions. He's not afraid of our questions. And this is something that needs to be emphasized in this generation, that which is part of my generation as well, that loves to ask why. Why is this? Why did God ask for us to follow this command? Why is God asking me to do this? Or why does God say we should do this in his word? Friends, don't let anyone tell you that you can't ask that question. God is calling us all to study the word of God and to find the answers to our questions. I've heard it said this way, and I think it's actually stated by the Great Controversy, that truth is not afraid of the harshest scrutiny. In other words, the word of God and God himself who laid out that word is not afraid of the deepest questions and most intense skepticism that comes against the word of God. God wants us to ask questions to him honestly and ask him that if he desires for us to understand it in this life, to answer the questions that we have in this life. Friends, do not be afraid. But God in his love, if we follow him as we ask those questions, if we trust him, even while the questions are not yet answered, because some of these questions are not answered immediately that we might have, but that we must trust that God is love. And that as time goes forward, if the question needs to be answered that we might be saved, God will guide us, that we will receive a sufficient answer, that he can sustain us in that. But until that time, it is for us to trust. It is for us to come to the point of realizing that in answering our questions, God does not operate on our timetable, but we are to operate on his. And we are to trust him that where we cannot understand certain things that he says, that we must trust his heart, love, and know that he will guide us in the way, that he is not one who is seeking to lead us to destruction. And so this is something that I've learned in my own experience. There are times, I tell you the truth, that I have had questions for God. And Jehovah has told me, trust. And friends, as I have trusted, sometimes days, sometimes months, sometimes years later, the question is answered. And it is answered to such a degree that I wondered, why was there ever a doubt behind my questioning? Why did I ever distrust God? Because the answer to the question was so full, it was so abundant, that for the other questions that I had, I may have still had the questions, but I trusted God now. And I realized, whoa, even though this question may not be answered immediately, I know I could trust God with this. And I know if I need to have it answered, he'll answer it for me. And I know that if I don't need to have it answered, his love is enough. So it continues, it states here, instead of trusting in the Son of God for forgiveness of sins and for eternal salvation, the people looked to the Pope and to the priests and prelates whom he delegated authority. They were taught that the Pope was their earthly mediator and that none could approach God except through him. And further, that he stood in the place of God to them and was therefore to be implicitly obeyed. A deviation from his requirements was sufficient cause for the severest punishment to be visited upon the bodies and souls of the offenders. Thus the minds of the people were turned away, look at this, from God to fallible, erring, and cruel men. Nay more, to the prince of darkness himself who exercises power through them. Sin was disguised as a garb of sanctity. When the scriptures are suppressed, and man comes to regard himself as supreme, we need look only for fraud, deception, and debasing iniquity. When the elevation of human laws and traditions was manifest, with the elevation of human laws and traditions was manifest the corruption that ever results from setting aside the law of God. This can be found in Great Controversy, page 55. Now, as it concerns the aspect of the God of forces, it says, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. What is that talking about? Taylor Bunch in his book, Book of Daniel, page 189, states, it is clearly describing a religious system that does something the fathers of Christianity did not do. And what was that? It depends on force, munitions, fortresses, and arms, the civil power, to forward its ends and maintain its strength. Hence, that word forces, when you read it in different parts of the Bible, you realize that it's connected to the civil power. In other words, what does the people system do? It honors, it lifts up and combines its religious power with the civil. That is the power of force. But how can it enforce its religious dogmas? It is through the power of the state. And so in other words, working through the power of the state, it does that which the fathers of Christianity never did, such as the apostles, those who followed their message. They never used force. Friends, anytime you see a church using force to administer its dogmas, it reveals to you that they have lost their evangelistic power. They have lost the power of the Holy Spirit. Hence, they resort to force that men may worship against the dictates of their conscience. This is a further interpretation of Daniel 8:24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. In Daniel 11:31, we are told that arms shall stand on his part. The papacy would unite with the state and depend upon the sword and fortresses of Caesar, that's pagan Rome, that's the civil power, instead of the mighty sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is true, William Miller says, that the Pope for ages past has had large armies at his command and always a bodyguard to attend him in his capital. That's written by William Miller, Evidence, page 98. The papal system is one of force and power. She requires strict obedience and respect for her authority from princes and kings. Her churches often are fortress-like structures resplendent with purple and scarlet, silver and gold, and precious stones. All right? So as we look at this point, we are realizing here that the God of forces is a reference, in other words, to the God of the governments. In other words, it's to the God of the civil power, or it elevated the civil power to that status. So it began to rely on the arm or the forces, or another way of putting it is on the civil power. So, but in his estate shall he honor the civil power. How? By using it to advance his religious purposes. So the papacy will use the civil power to advance its purpose, right? Now, as we look at this, it states here, it continues, it says, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Now, as it concerns that last aspect, I'll read a few statements here. It says, Rome does not acknowledge any God but herself. She exalts and magnifies herself above all. She worships herself by honoring, extolling, and deifying the church of her own creation. She covers this religious system with names of blasphemy by declaring that the church alone has power to forgive sins, to interpret the Bible, to open the gates of paradise unto whosoever it wills, and even to change the law of God, especially the Holy Sabbath, Daniel 7:25. Then, crown the church's bloodthirsty reign with ultimate impiety, Rome bestows upon it the title of infallibility. The papacy was Swearingen in Tidings Out of the North, page 166, states the papacy would honor the God of forces by using force as a means of exercising its authority. The armed forces of the European nations were used by the Catholic Church to maintain medieval supremacy. This is what we're talking about here when we read about the God of forces. And the God that will be honored in this situation is none other than the papacy itself. Honored, here it is, with silver, with precious stones, and pleasant things. Revelation speaks of the papacy having these things through the civil powers and through the financial men of the world. Friends, we're going to come back to that again. I'm going to show you this before we end. It says in Revelation 17 and verse 4, it speaks of this power, and I'm going to read it to you. It says here in Revelation 17 and verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, I'm going to read this to you. This is very interesting. I was just studying this with someone later, in the latter part of last week. And I want you to look at this. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. And I'm going to read something to you all. It says in Revelation, chapter 18, and I'm going to read from verse 3. The final message of God's people to the world will be, yes, the final, the everlasting gospel, the three angels' messages. But when the fourth angel comes to amplify the three angels' messages, especially the third, there is also a mention of the second angel's message. And this is what it says here concerning the fall of Babylon. But by the time of Revelation, when we read in Revelation 14:8 of the fall of Babylon, speaking of the papal system, along with the rest of the fallen churches, friends, we are talking about a fall that is not complete. But when it gets to Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, by the time that is fulfilled, the fall of Babylon is complete. This is what it says. And he cried mightily, speaking of God's people in the form of an angel. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication, and notice this, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Who's the kings? That is a symbolic term in the Bible used for temporal powers. In other words, civil leaders. So at the end of time, what's going to happen is by the time the proclamation of Revelation chapter 18 takes place, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 38 and 37 is repeated. In other words, just like the papacy was connected with the civil power to advance its religious agenda by force, so at the end of time will this very thing happen again. The papal system will unite with the civil leaders of the world in order to deceive the masses who these civil leaders rule over. But it's not just over the civil leaders of the world. Look at what it says here. It continues, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. In other words, there's a deep union between them, like it was in the Dark Ages. But then it continues, and it mentions another group. It says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing the merchants, when you look it up, when you look up that word in the original Greek language in which it is written, the word merchants there actually means men of trade. The men who have power over the economic resources of the planet. The men who control the money. The men who have power over the monetary resources of the world, across land and sea, they control it. The men who have great influence. The papal system will not only unite with the civil leaders of the world, but with the economic leaders of the world. Do you see now why, according to Revelation chapter 13, there will come a point that unless men receive the mark of the beast, they will not be able to buy or sell? Because why? As the papal system connects with the financial leaders of the world, the monetary or the economic leaders of the world, the money of the world, the resources of the world will be cut off from access by the saints. This is why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So it's going to start off here within this nation, because we're reading that verse was concerning how the second beast, Protestantism in the USA, will exalt the papal system once again. But once this happens, friends, the papacy will reach to a point that, like in the Dark Ages, it will have control completely through the merchants of the earth. It will have control completely over the economic resources of the world. So, friends, it's going to come to a point, as inspiration tells us, where every earthly support will be cut off. This is why now is our time to truly learn. And I'm speaking to myself here, how to learn to grow our own food, how to learn to take care of our own resources as much as we possibly can. We are told that at this time, when this time comes, yes, God will provide for us. Angels will feed us. But friends, God wants us to prepare practically, to learn lessons of self-denial, so that when this time comes, we are ready to face this time by God's grace. I want to read to you some statements concerning this in our last 4 minutes here. Concerning this coming persecution, powerful, because this crisis has so many different aspects to it. All right? I'm going to read. Let me read for us. I'll read of the time during. Right. Give me 1 second. We'll finish off with these statements. So this is taken from Last Day Events. And I'm going to read to you here statements such as, okay, so as this time comes, it states in Last Day Events, page 146, paragraph 2, those who are preaching this message, because friends, this is why, this is the beauty, but in the future, it's going to be stuff that causes us to be marked, but it is the beauty of being a Seventh-day Adventist, because there is light that has been revealed concerning what is coming, and the contempt that will be placed upon those who receive not the mark. And we know of these times that are coming. It is to have a practical experience, however, to meet these times. Speaking of these times, it says in Testimonies for the Church, volume 5, page 450, it says, the same masterful mind that plotted against the faithful in past ages is still seeking to rid the earth of those who fear God and obey his law. Now listen to this. Wealth, genius, education will combine to cover them with contempt. Persecuting rulers, that's the kings of the earth now, ministers, and church members will conspire against them. With voice and pen, by boast, threats, and ridicule, they will seek to overthrow their faith. Friends, are you hearing this? There will come a time when, because of our advocacy of Bible truth, we shall be treated as traitors. Now, she's writing this to Seventh-day Adventists. This is taken from Testimonies for the Church. This is not just talking about some scatterbrained people. It's not talking about offshoots. It's not talking, friends, about just people that follow God when this time comes. She's talking to the Church, the Adventist Church here. This is Testimonies for the Church, the Adventist Church, she's saying this concerning. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies, listen to this, of law and order. Friends, that happened during the Dark Ages. It says, as breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. Their conscientious scruples will be pronounced obstinacy, stubbornness, and contempt of authority. They will be accused of disaffection toward the government. And this is why I tell you that we must be careful when we speak out against groups that are blamed like this today. We must be careful because the time is coming when those groups will be us. It will be us. We will be called those who are breaking down the moral restraints of society, as causing anarchy, as calling down judgments of God upon the earth. And so as we stand, it will be viewed as disaffection toward the government. Last statement, Acts of the Apostles, page 431 and 432. All who in the evil day would fearlessly serve God according to the dictates of conscience will need courage, firmness, and a knowledge of God and His Word. For those who are true to God will be persecuted. Their motives will be impunged, meaning it will be misunderstood. People will, and it's not misunderstood because people don't understand. People will willingly choose to misunderstand. Their best efforts misinterpreted, and their names cast out as evil. Friends, it's coming to us. It's coming. The persecutions of Protestants by Romanism, by which the religion of Jesus Christ was almost annihilated, will be more than rivaled when Protestantism and popery are combined. Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 387. And this is the last one I'll read. This thing blew my mind when I read it first. This is found in Letter 30A, 1892. Satan has 1,000 masked batteries, which will be opened upon the loyal commandment-keeping people of God to compel them to violate conscience. It's not open yet, but he will open them soon. And so this is why, friends, the reason that we're looking at this is because we're seeing a parallel now, a parallel between what happened in the Dark Ages and what is soon to take place again in our world. May we find refuge in Christ as the reformers did. And may we reach out to others that they may be warned of that which is coming. That's my prayer. Let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that you may continue to guide us, strengthen us, draw us ever closer to you. And I pray, O God, that we may stand for others now, Lord. For there are so many in the world now who are being misunderstood. Their motives are being twisted. But Father, I pray that, Lord, we will stand for others knowing what is coming to us in the very end. Guide us, O Lord, and help us to be faithful to you as the reformers were. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Brother Akin, we want to thank you, all of us, on behalf of everyone. We want to thank you for this wonderful, encouraging message. And brothers and sisters, this is the time as we listen to what is coming upon us. Let us not be afraid, because the Lord told us that he will protect us and he will keep us. And if we follow his will and be obedient to him, he is able to keep us, you know, because serious time is coming upon us. And as we listen for our own self, we are going to be called a traitor, right? We are going to call that we are breaking the law. You know, he tells us, as our brother just tell it, Adventist, not the world. You know, we are actually pointed out that Adventists will be treated with contempt, as our dear brother just read, and that they will say that we are the one who are disobeying the law. We are the one that is causing all these things. And they, as they point us out, we know that we will be facing and standing persecution. So, brothers and sisters, let us not be afraid of their faces, but all we have to do, trust God. As God promised us, right, this passport is to heaven. And we know his passport to heaven is righteousness. And he is looking forward for us, you know, to be obedient so that we can follow his will and to do what is right. And as we heard our dear brother a while ago had preached that we have to follow our conscience, brothers and sisters, you know, and be careful what we are doing, but all we have to do is to trust God because he's able and just to do all things. So, brothers and sisters, tonight we are so grateful that we can join here to listen to these wonderful messages and that our dear pastor had presented to us. And Brother Akin, we just pray for you that God will continue to use you and bless you, that you will able to present, you know, study. We are in studies. We are in the classroom, you know, getting, some of us may not understand fully Daniel 11, and we are in 37-38 going in these verse. But brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to go back and study, you know, go for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead us into the truth. And when we really ask the Lord and trust and depend upon him, we know he will show us the light, because we are getting some fresh bread from heaven. Some of us may be the first time we heard all these things, but you know what? God said, if we humble ourselves before him, he will be our great teacher, and he will allow us to be victorious. So, Brother from Elder, we just want to thank you, not Elder, Pastor Hakeem, we just want to thank you. And brothers and sisters on this line, I'm asking you if there is a query or a comment or a question you want to ask Brother Akin, you can take off yourself off the keypad and you can press 1 so that I will open the line. Any question, if you have your comment and you something that you did not quite understand, it is your time now to press number 1 that I can know that you have a question, a worry, or any takeout that you can. But we just want to say thank you, Brother Hakeem, for bringing and also for breaking down this chapter to us line by line each day and each week, because this is how we get that understanding. So I'm going to open this one individual. I'm going to open the line, Brother Hakeem, and you know, prepare to answer this question. And, you know, you may get it every week, but just prepare to answer this question. Okay, 857-615, your line is open.
Hello, Brother Akin and Sister Powell. Thank you, Brother Akin, for the powerful message. The powerful message was very powerful, Brother Akin. Brother Akin, I don't know if you do Bible study, Bible study with the youth, because Jerry wants to do Bible study. Brother Akin, I don't know, can Sister Powell give you the number or Sister Miola? Sister Powell, I don't know if Sister Miola or Sister Stephanie or Sister Carla or Brother Akin could do Bible study with Brother Jerry. I don't know if it's a good idea, Brother Akin. And Brother Akin, my second question, he needs a lot of He needs like a lot of prayer too, Brother Jerry, and he needs like he wants to be on the Zoom too. And Brother Akeem, how come the youth are not doing Bible study? Because Brother Akeem, I don't know, can you Sister Powell could give you Brother Jihari's phone number, and Brother Kim, what time we could do Bible study with Brother Jihari, because the mother of the host, she's hosting right now, the mother of the host on the prayer line, Brother Kim, I don't know, can she give it to you, or Sister Miola, or Sister Carla, or Sister Stephanie, I don't know, can you do Bible study with Brother Jihari and Sister Stephanie or Sister Carla? I don't know, can you guys do Bible study like the youth? Because the youth wants to do Bible study, Brother Akeem. Sister Powell, can you mention that for Brother Akeem, Sister Powell? I don't know, can Brother Akeem do Bible study with Brother Jihari? Amen. And read John, Sister Powell, I have another question. Sister Powell, I think Sister Miola read John 1. I think she read John 1 with Brother Jerry when Brother Jerry was talking with Sister Miola, he do John first. Can you ask Sister Miola, Sister Paula, because Sister Miola is on the prayer line. I don't know, can she do an announcement or like can she do like Bible study with him, Sister Paula? I don't know, can she push number one on the prayer line, Sister Miola, or tell Brother Akeem do Bible study with Brother Jari. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Brother Akeem, this is your time, Brother Akeem. Okay, Brother Akeem, Brother Eli, I think you heard Brother Eli. He is asking if you could really do Bible study with Brother Jihari. Brother Jihari have to identify himself and just let us know if he is interested in doing this Bible study, right? We are inviting Brother Jihari, as Brother Eli requests, to join the line, join us in each evening and, you know, to share, but we have not been hearing or from Brother Jihari. We tried to call the house manager where Brother Jihari is, and there is no response from Brother Jihari. Unless we get, you know, the okay, there we will be able to set up the Bible study for Brother Jihari, but I cannot set up a Bible study for the young people, you know, if they do not identify themselves to us and say they are interested in doing the Bible study. So we are asking our brothers and sisters on this line, Brother Akeem, I don't know where you're going, ask so that we can lift up Brother Jihari, you know, to the Lord, so that, you know, the Lord will be able to touch his heart. Sister Leola is not on this line, not now. She is... Okay, all right, Sister Leola, you know, yes, chatting. Sister Leola contact somebody. I don't know if she pray with Jihari, but we will still pray and we will still try, Brother Eli, so that we can, you know, give you your desire, because I know you are constantly praying on behalf of for Jihari. I know you would like the youth, right, them to have their Bible study. And also your heart is openly for the Lord to help, you know, all these youth so that they will come back to Christ. So our prayer here, brothers and sisters, is for us to pray for the young people. has the desire of Brother Eli Hart. So I don't know if Brother Akin, if you want to say something, I'm going to open your line on behalf. But we will be still praying, Brother Eli, so that Brother Johari will send that request to us, and we will be willing because we have been doing a lot of Bible study here on Advent Light. So we are praying that you will accept, you know, the will of God and really call for us to, oh Lord. All right, so I'm going to open the line. Brother Akin, maybe
yes.
Brother Eli want to hear your voice.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely pray, but yes, I could definitely pray for them. Brother, it's Brother Giari and also the youth, right?
Mm.
Yeah, I could pray.
Yeah.
I could definitely pray for them. But as you said, what I would like to do is just make sure that, that I would be able to have the time to do that because I'm doing a lot of things here in Michigan in pastoral ministry, but I am open to try to figure out how we can work something like that in. But the major thing you mentioned is it would have to be up to them whether they
yes.
wanted something like that. Because I don't mm-hmm. want to sound like I'm forcing myself or whatever. So I want, if that's something they want, then of course they can voice that and we can see what we can do from there.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
But I could definitely
thank
pray
you.
For them.
Would you like to just offer a prayer for them now for me, please?
Yes. Okay. Father in heaven, I pray that you will be with Brother Eli, O Lord, and praise your name for his love not only for you, but also for his brothers and friends and the youth. And I pray, O God, for them as well, Brother Giari and also the youth. I pray that you continue to be with them. Draw them ever closer to you. And Lord, I pray that ultimately we will all be saved in your kingdom. Father, bring us ever closer to Jesus. Bring us to have a greater and greater desire for him. And Lord, to come into such connection with him that his life will be lived out in our own. That his life will be seen in our lives. That it will be no longer us that lives, but he who lives out his life within us. I pray and I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Akin, for that prayer, for the youth, especially the desire of Brother Eli Hart. And thank everyone tonight who joined us. And brothers and sisters, let us continue to study God's word. Let us continue to be faithful to one another. Let us pray constantly, consistently, right, on behalf, Lord, of our church organization, our general conference, also our union and our local churches, our brothers and sisters, and also our missionaries over the world and even in this country, you know. And also let us lift up our youth, brothers and sisters. The youth will be the leaders of tomorrow, and we have to encourage them because the older brothers and sisters are actually going to sleep. We have seen it, and we are praying that this mighty army that we have, as we heard at last, I think it was yesterday, a group of youth, they were having some Bible questions and, you know, Bible bowl or what they call it. And eventually there were some young youths, you know, from the Washington, D.C. here, and there were youth from all over the world. And I heard that it was very successful for the youth. They came back and the youth gave report. Some of the youth gave some report how much, you know, they were thankful to God to allow them to remember all these scriptures that they have studied, you know, and bring it back to their remembrance that they could record answer these scriptures. So brothers and sisters on this line, our youth is very, very, very important in this society at this time. So let us really encourage them, Lelai, just as though we listen, Brother Aki, Brother Eli, present those youths into that home. Let us consistently, you know, by praying for these youths and encourage them so that they will stand in this time and just keep our eyes look upon the three evil boys, you know, and see what they have done, and that how a youth can represent, to represent Christ with holiness. So I just want to thank everyone for joining. And tomorrow night is Monday night. We will have the Tennessee group who will be having leading out to the Great Controversy study. So we are asking this line to join. I think you guys, everyone know the number. We are asking you to join. And thank you for joining. God bless. And have a blessed night. So we just close. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Good night, my dear brothers and sisters. Sometimes I play the song and I can't get the song. So I just see what happened here. If nothing come, I will just say good night. I am also always freeze with these songs, right? So all I have to say, good night, my brothers and sisters. We will see each other. Wow, we see. Okay, good night. I have to close, end my program. All right.